Oh Lord, we come before you and we ask for a blessed evening of hearing your words to us, Lord, your instructions. We ask that you show us something we've never seen before and we can just grow from it. We can mature from it, Lord, and we can keep striving to be the best we can for you in your kingdom and in your name. Amen. Okay. You guys remember last week? Talked about we talked about the crowns and we talked about the white robes and how we're promised in the word how we will be like Christ in heaven. So we need to start thinking of investing in eternity and not just on these earthly things. I have a lot in these notes, so I don't want to spend too much time. Yeah, but give me a thumbs up if you remember where we're at. Four, five. Okay. Well, there's the notes and the recording, so we can always go back to that if we need to. I don't want to take too much of our time tonight, so we'll get moving, okay? But let's start where we were in a place we were at last week in Revelation 3:18. If you remember, he was writing to the church of the Laodiceans, and he was telling them, "Hey, you think that you're rich and all that, but let me tell you," he says, "I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see." So he counsels them to buy gold from him. The true riches are a spiritual richness in heaven, not what they see with their carnal eyes, what they think they are. That's not true riches. Those riches will get you nowhere in heaven. So he's saying, don't focus on that, focus on this. Let's turn to Matthew 6. We're at Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21. All right, Jesus is speaking to the people, and he says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys. And where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So when he was talking about, thieves and moths and rust, I was like, oh, that sounds exactly like John 10:10, where he says, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came that we may have life abundantly." So moths destroy, thieves steal, rust, it destroys, metal and things like that. But in heaven, we're not going to have any of those things that cause decay or anything. So he says this is more valuable. Laying up treasures in heaven is going to be way more valuable than if your heart is on treasures here on earth. Shoot over to Luke 12, verses 31 through 34. It says, "But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So this is pretty much saying the same thing, just in a different book, translated a little bit different. But where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If we're thinking about this, if our thoughts and priorities are centered on eternal treasures, our hearts are going to follow that. If my priorities are to politics, right? I'm going to get wrapped up in politics. That's where my heart's going to be. I'm going to get in every single argument I can, blah, blah, blah. But if I constantly focus on storing up treasures in heaven for myself, my heart's going to be on spiritual things, on godly things. So, Just wanted to point that out to you. All right. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. Okay, some more instruction. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is. Where's Christ sitting at right now? Right at the right hand of God in heaven. So seek those things which are up there where Christ is. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died. Was I going to hit three? I don't think so. That's all I was pointing out. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. So once again, we're instructed to do that. 1 Corinthians 4. Sometimes I just write, we'll read so much scripture on something, but this word, it's just kind of like saturates what we're talking about. And if you're saturating soil, what does that do for the soil? It allows the roots to go deeper, right? So it doesn't matter if the verse says the exact same thing or not. We're just going to keep getting saturated by the word, and we're going to see it over and over and over again. And we're not going to be able to deny any of those things nor forget what it's saying. So it's good that we read all these verses. All right, 2 Corinthians 4, 16, 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What we do on this earth, we are working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, one that we can't see right now. So don't worry about the ones you can see. Worry about the focus on the ones you can't see yet. Hebrews 12:2. Here's an example of Jesus doing it. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and had sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. Jesus could see beyond his present suffering to what was ahead. So it motivated him in his actions here on earth, knowing that something far greater and exceeding weight of glory was ahead of him. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. We've all heard this before. Paul says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize?" This is the important part. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an unperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as the one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Run the race to obtain the prize. Paul tells us to live with purpose and discipline because we are pursuing an imperishable reward. Train yourself to be the most productive you can. We'll talk about that a little later, about training ourselves to be the most productive we can. All right. Paul speaks about it again in Philippians. Let's look there. Philippians 3, verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as mature, have this mind. And if any of you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Paul He didn't simply want to finish the race, he pressed towards the goal for the prize. His mindset was he wanted to win the race. He wasn't just trying to finish the race. Think about, different people, they get into a, a 5K or, marathon or whatever, and they're like, I just want to finish. Well, Paul's like, I'm going to strive. I'm going to try to win. I'm winning this thing. So that was his mindset. And he says the mature will have this mindset. So think on that. This is how the mature live. The mature think about trying to win this thing, being the most productive they can be. He says, I don't beat my body aimlessly. Like every movement is for efficiency in what I'm doing. So press on, reach forward, pursue the goal, win the prize. Second John 8, the different author this time. Second John only has one, so it's verse 8. And he just simply says, look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. That's that whole, I want the whole thing. I'm trying to win it all. I'm not trying to lose any of it. I want it all. And it's okay to have that mindset. Religion, like I said before, would tell you, well, I don't know if that's the right mindset. Like, are we doing this for something, right? Like, I just do it because I love Jesus. Well, it's Jesus's words that are telling us to go after it, to try to grab it all, to try to think on those things, do what it takes to get those. So these verses here are telling us go after the prize, go after the heavenly rewards. Scripture doesn't teach us to be indifferent towards eternal rewards. It repeatedly tells us to live intentionally for them. So have you been indifferent or intentional? Ask yourselves that. I think I've been pretty indifferent up until this word was shown to me. I mean, I'm just kind of doing my thing. Like, hey, I'm not, my mind has not been on these things. But as I look and I read all these scriptures, it's like, it's everywhere in here. The whole New Testament is telling us to do this. And so I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm seeing you. I'm seeing your word here. So this is takes intentionality. Like Paul says, he trains his body to do this. He trains it. Because if you are indifferent about it, you're not going to be very good at it because there's no training going on. You're just going to probably, lose some rewards if you're not conscious of them. All right, page two. God keeps an account. There's an accounting in heaven, Revelations 22, 12, very end of the Bible. Jesus says, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. Okay, so I'm just showing you the accounting here, right? We're all going to receive an award according to our work. We just heard, go after this reward. Now it's up to us individually, right? We're all going to get there, but we're all going to be given different rewards. So this is what the word says. I'm not going to get Deanna's reward. Deanna's not going to get my reward. We're each going to get our own reward. So this is between you and your relationship with Jesus and what he's pleased with. And that's how much you get to keep up there. All right. Philippians 4:17. Well, we just read this a few weeks ago with Micah. Paul says, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. So Paul is saying, you have an account and I'm not seeking it, but I want you to get your rewards. This is when the Philippians, he was talking about the money that they had sent him. Right, Micah? I'm writing that, right? He's thanking them for their gift. And he's like, the gift is great, but I'm more happy that you are earning treasures in heaven through this is what he's saying. Our actions on earth can produce eternal fruit credited to us in heaven. Hebrews 6, verse 9. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. God's not unjust. He's not going to forget our work and our labor of love. He's keeping track. There's some sort of tracker in heaven. I think of it as like the stock market going up. Oh, you said something bad. Oh, it's going down. Oh, and maybe like when you earn a reward, maybe it makes a little slot machine sound in heaven or something. I don't know, but that's just me being silly. But God doesn't forget any of our work and labor of love. God keeps the ledger, and at the end of that, he said, imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Be like the great ones, right? We all have our sports heroes. I want to be like him. I want to be like him. Well, we have some heroes in the Word who got some big rewards. Imitate them. Be like them, is what Paul's saying. All right. Revelation 3, verse 11. Jesus speaks. He says, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown." Don't lose your rewards. We pay attention to our bank accounts very closely here on earth. We know what it's like. We know where we're at. We can watch that accounting. But how about this account? If we need to keep our minds on this, on just like the word tells us to do. So the last verse says, don't become sluggish. And I guess what was the word we used back here? Indifferent. Don't become sluggish and indifferent towards this stuff. Don't lose our rewards. And this is Jesus saying that too in Revelation 3:11. Keep the eternal count in mind. If we remembered that what we do for God's kingdom has eternal significance, how would that change us, right? How generously would we give? How faithfully would we serve? How we use our time, how we respond when we're tired, what we consider truly valuable. So these are some questions I had written down on my notes, and if we put our heads together, we could probably fill up a whole page of those things. These are just some examples of, if we had that in mind, if we were had our minds focused on things above and not on this earth. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5. We're getting near the end. Verse 9. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, or we could say the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are all well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. We're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ and receive according to what we've done. We've read that, right? He's keeping account of what we've done. And when we appear before him, that's what it's going to be, right? And when we read 1 Corinthians 3, you're all going to remember this verse. But it'll give you some more explaining to do or more understanding. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5. Ooh, through 15, it's a long one. Okay, who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants, which is Paul, is anything, nor he who waters, which he just said was Apollos, but God who gives the increase. Now, he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. We just went over that, right? But here's Paul talking about him and Apollos. They both did work for the Lord, right? But and they're both doing the work for the Lord. The Lord gets the credit. Each one is going to get a reward according to his own labor. So if you want to talk about identity, write these things down. For one, we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, and you are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. He's still in the context of each one and his own labor. Okay. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, okay, clue there, those are all heavenly things right there. Okay. Or wood, hay, and straw. That's related to the earthly things. Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Okay, we're not going to lose our salvation at this judgment seat, but what we did, all our work's going to be there for judgment. Some of it could burn up because it really wasn't the things of heaven, or these things were everlasting, and this gave you an eternal gift. Do you guys understand all of that? Good, good. Any questions on that? It was long, and I'm hope I'm making myself clear there. But we want to build what we do, our actions, in a spiritual way, in a heavenly way, because those are the things that are eternal, like those precious stones, the gold and the silver. Okay, if what we're doing is just kind of a worldly, earthly thing, that's not going to last in heaven. So we need to be careful how we build, it said. Because these are the ones that get your rewards. These are the ones that burn up in the fire. Okay. All right. I hope I explained that well. Our work will be tested. Some work will remain and receive reward. Other work will be burned up and result in loss of reward. This passage distinguishes salvation from reward. We're all going to, the salvation will still be there, but how we are rewarded in heaven will all be different. A person's work may be lost, but he himself will be saved. Okay. The Laodiceans. We don't need to turn there because we already read that in the first, but there's the verse back in Revelations. Remember, they thought they were doing well because they evaluated themselves according to earthly standards. They said, we're rich, we're doing great, you know. But Jesus saw their true spiritual condition completely different. They were shown their account. Remember, he says, you're wretched, you're blind, you're naked, you haven't earned robes of righteousness yet. You're spiritually blind. So Jesus showed them their account before they got to heaven. Now, these are churchgoers. And this last verse we said was, they'll still have their salvation, but how would you like to get up there and find out you really didn't earn any rewards? You know what I'm saying? So, and it always comes back to, like, why are we talking about this? Because he says to focus on that. So don't evaluate your life only by what is visible or successful on earth. Learn to see your life from an eternal perspective. All right, almost done. I think this is our last verse, 1 Corinthians 4:5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. Then each one's praise will come from God. The Lord will reveal the hidden things and the motives of the heart. then each one's praise will come from God. It isn't simply what we did, but why we did it. So, like, we could focus on these rewards. Hey, I did the Lord, didn't I prophesy in your name? Didn't I drive out demons and raise the dead? And he's like, away from me, I never knew you, right? Because the why wasn't there. Okay. And that's the why is important still. So don't try it, don't get this mixed up. We're talking about what in these verses here, but I don't want us to forget the why. The why is because of our relationship with Jesus and why we do those things. He says we will be rewarded, but if we're not abiding in him, then we're just doing works, right? So I don't want to get off track of the why. I want us, even though we're looking at the what in this lesson, let's not forget the why. All right. So the big picture is kind of a summary here. If we keep our minds on spiritual and heavenly things, we become more purposeful about how we live on earth. Remember that there's an eternal accounting. Remembering that there's an eternal accounting can change ordinary decisions. So here's some things I wrote down. When I'm tired a lot. When I'm tired, I still serve faithfully. When giving isn't comfortable, I remember eternal treasure. When no one notices, I remember that God does. And there's verses that say you've already gotten your reward if people notice. So you want to do things. Remember what Jennifer talking to us at Ron Service? So don't let the right hand tell you what the left hand's doing. I still remember that. Okay. When earthly success looks appealing, I remember what lasts. So set your mind on things above. Your heart's going to follow those treasures. Run your race intentionally. God remembers your faithfulness. Your work is tested by Christ. What has eternal value receives reward. We aren't working for salvation. Salvation is through Christ, but Scripture gives believers a very real reason to live purposefully after salvation. How we live this life matters in eternity. So that's the end of tonight. Who wants to talk about this?
I'll start a conversation.
Sure.
I'm fascinated by this last 2 weeks, and I don't know why. I'm just so like what? I don't know why. I'm just kind of so like blown away by it all. I feel like initially I was kind of like reminded of like Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses or something, like, oh, you got to do all this stuff, and I know that's not what you're saying, but I happen to know a Jehovah's Witness pretty well. The lady I bought this house from, she comes to get her hair done, and we talk Bible all the time, and I know there's things that we disagree on, but they serve all the time, and as the more that I get to know her, it's not like I think it's, a genuine, like, no, this needs to be done. So whether or not, I don't know anything else about Jehovah's Witnesses, but I do see people doing this, and I wonder if just growing up you just thought, oh, that's what that religion believes, you got to earn it or something like that. But the more I get to know her, it doesn't feel like she does it from an earning kind of thing. Anyways, I'm getting off track. Last week I got getting kicked off on the internet, so I had to listen. And this one phrase you said, "I don't want to be naked in heaven," and I don't know why that just like so like what? I keep wanting to say what? Just these things, and how do I have never seen them? But then as I'm like reading the word this week, I saw another scripture that kind of supports this, and I go, I've never looked at this like this. I don't know. I'm just babbling now, but just trying to get a conversation. Had anybody else feeling this way or having any of these kinds of thoughts?
I realize I've always kind of glossed over all of these. There's so many scriptures that say to do this, but I've just kind of glossed over it. And I was indifferent. I know that I was. And and like I was saying, I started thinking about these crowns, and like, I don't know if I've led anyone to Jesus. Yeah, I kind of, I care about us, but I didn't go out evangelizing and bringing people in, and I want the full reward. So I started really thinking on this, and this has really opened up to me. So that's how I got here. But I too was just really indifferent to it, and God never really realized it was written so much in there.
I feel like maybe what we came out of, or how I was taught on my life, was just a much more passive approach. But I realized, like, oh, I think I'm like a socialist Christian, because I just thought, oh, we're gonna go to heaven and everybody's gonna have exactly the same. You know what I mean? Or like, I don't know. I just was like thinking, like, oh, saved in the bag, or whatever. I don't know. But there is something in me that feels like, yes, this is missing. This part is missing. Like, when I'm saying what, it's more of like a, tell me more. Like, there's something in there, but I just don't feel like it was ever, I don't feel like we were ever shown this or taught this, or I don't know what I'm saying, but I'm excited to be learning about it now. Micah, you were going to say something. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, I think with so much of what we talk about, and even this, it really is just all about like, where's your heart at? Where's your heart posture at of it? Because in the Old Testament, it says that our righteousness can be like dirty rags to the Lord. It's about where your heart is actually at. And one way I've heard it phrased before is that the gospel is not anti-effort, it's just anti-earning. We still have, there's still things that we have to do, right? And if you're looking at it as in, like, I have to do this or I'm not going to go to heaven, that's kind of where it starts to get into, that realm of like having to do it to earn it, as if it's something by your, something you can do. But by all accounts, they kind of, Dan kind of dove into it a little bit, but it kind of talks about how, like, we're going to kind of come across two different judgments at some point. Did you accept Jesus, and then what did you do with him, kind of thing? That's a whole different thing that could be dove into. I don't know if you're gonna Dan's gonna get into any of that at all, but anyway, so the whole point being, I think it's with like everything, where's your heart at in it? Where's the posture of your heart towards it? At the end of the day, are you doing it because you just want something for yourself, or are you doing it unto the glory of God, for his glory? Like, we're gonna receive these crowns, these jewels. At the end of the day, we're going to lay him down at his feet in heaven anyways. Like, it's all going back to him type of thing. So it's a big, where's your heart at in regards to, like Dan's saying, the why are you doing it?
I
Now I'm just
definitely
rambling at this point, but.
no, I def that makes a lot of sense, and I definitely understand that, because as I've grown closer to the Lord, I mean, just in my adult life since COVID or whatever, I feel a change in heart and the motivation behind doing things. I totally get that. I think it's the accounting part, the keeping score part, the, what did you just say? Like, we're all gonna have salvation, but we're gonna have different rewards. Like, that part is just the new part to me. And it's not like that would become my motivation, but it's just foreign. It's a foreign concept at this point. So that's kind of all.
I think too that this is it's really like teaching, or it's telling us to live our life more purposefully, like live with purpose. And so where your heart is at, and then, then move forward with purpose in order to receive these crowns. You know what I mean? To strive to gain these crowns, for in heaven. And it all comes back around to like your heart posture, where you're at, and how you live your life.
Yeah, I liked that part about when Paul was talking about that. And when you're in that place, you probably don't have a whole lot of time to like be feeling bad about yourself. All your focus is like on other people and serving, things like that. So it probably puts you in a pretty good place too.
One thing I forgot to mention was when I was writing these things down about myself. When I'm tired, I still serve faithfully. When giving isn't comfortable, I remember eternal treasures. When no one notices, I remember God does. When the earthly success looks appealing, I remember what lasts. I was thinking of Paul saying, I train myself to be. Those are the things when it's hard to keep doing it. And that's what Paul said. He was training himself to do it. I mean, when he was in prison, he still praised, you know what I mean? And he still, when he was in prison, he still shared the Lord with the guards. And, so these are, I see these kinds of things as like training ground to train your body to be more purposeful. I kind of glossed over that part, but I wanted to not move past that.
Well, and that like last week we read Philippians 3:20 and 21, where it says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able to subdue all things to Himself." So He's, He will transform us to be like Him. But where's your heart? And how are you? And how are you doing it? Like, what are we doing?
I was just going to say, sis, when you were talking, and I could be totally off here, but as you were talking and sharing about your takeaways, it for some reason reminded me of this. You had like a Facebook post a couple of days ago about someone that came into your salon that was happy, like, because you guys were ended up talking. Do you mind sharing about that?
I had a Well, the post was, and this was a genuine post, but my client came in. She was like, "Oh, I'm just so glad to be here. I need your faith." And I said, "What's going on?" And so then she told me she had suffered a loss and she was sad, but she was also mad about the way that it happened. And so I have found that in the chair, I can be very open with people about my faith, and they've come to become comfortable talking to me about it. And the more I'm doing it, the easier it's getting. And it's like trickled into my softball family and things like that. So that part is all very exciting for me. When you were talking about the crowns, I was like, oh yeah, I'm working on this crown or whatever. So, but yeah, it was just somebody that I've just, now I just put my hands on people. Oh, I pray blessings on your family and peace on your family. I just say things now, and this people just get used to me doing it. But
Yeah, I'm sorry to put you on the spot. I was just more so out of encouragement because it seems like you are doing that, right? That is a byproduct of.
yes, I want to do those things. My heart does. I actually feel like I care more about people and where they're coming from, or compassion, the more that we get into this stuff. It's just the part, the keeping score part is just the part that's like new to me. So I just felt thrown off by that when we initially started talking about it. Okay, I'll let somebody else talk now.
I don't know if we should focus on the score because we start doing the judgment. We need to just let him be the judge. But knowing in our actions and what we do and how we represent him, he's promising there will be rewards for those things. But he says, keep your mind on things above. Think about there's a reward for doing this, right? If we're always looking up at the scoreboard, that's our judgment of the scoreboard. It might not be his, so. I hope you don't misconstrue that.
And I love what you said under the big picture. The first thing you said, if we keep our minds on spiritual and heavenly things, just like Casey was saying, we've become more purposeful about how we live on earth. I think that's the main thing that we need to really do, because that's going to produce all the rest.
Yeah, remember if. Months ago, I was saying, I was at Cozy Diner or something. This lady was sitting right next to me. She had this great big bruise on her arm. And I felt like I just want to pray for her. But I chickened out, right? I chickened out and I didn't even say nothing to her. But if I had kept these things in mind, I'd be like, I'm going to pray for her now because if I could share Christ with her, I'm thinking of heavenly things. My own fear goes away, and now I'm thinking of, hey, I will please the Lord by doing this, and it make me step out of comfort zones and things like that. Being more purposeful.
Like Deanna in her chair, she said, all those, God's going to be sending you more people now with different purpose in just doing their hair. It's your mission field.
I think a big
Well,
part of the,
oh, go ahead.
sorry, I was just saying, I think a big part of the, you're talking about, and I think it was First Corinthians when Paul's talking about building and stuff like that. The reality is whether we think about it or not, we're building no matter what through our daily lives with our family, all this stuff. So what are you building towards? Because you're building, you're working towards something, whether you think you are or you're not, you're building towards something. Is it towards glorifying God, things of, the heavenly realm, these types of things. Because inherently, if it's not, then you're building towards worldly stuff. Whether it's, whether you're conscious of it or not. So I think that's a big part of it too. Just be active towards building towards these heavenly things, because we're building regardless.
I gave a little bit more explanation than what I did. That was a good explanation. Thanks. We're not done yet with this, so we're going to keep going, but we'll start looking at some things that he tells us we get rewards for, which will lead us into more and more talk. So we'll be at this for a few more weeks. So stay tuned in if this interests you, I guess. Hope it does. Anybody else before we quit? Okay.
Oh Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Lord, for Dan bringing this word to us. And we pray, Lord, that our hearts and our minds would be open to this. You are such a great God. You are so big and vast. And we want to get to know you better. And every time we get to know you in one area, there's a new part that reveals. And we thank you for the excitement of being in your word and learning these things. And we thank you, Lord, for Dan bringing them to us. Lord, I pray over my brother Dustin. He is facing a tough challenge tomorrow. And we just pray, Lord, for peace over him for the procedure. We thank you that he gets to get this done. Clearly, there's something going on that he needs this done, and he's able to get it done. So we praise you, Lord, for your provision in that way. We pray, Lord, for the doctor to see everything clearly that needs to be seen and just to be able to place everything that needs to be placed. And then we pray for a quick recovery and a quick healing around those implants, Lord. The time frame that Dustin has for healing, we just pray that it'll be smooth and quick and he'll get to get his teeth placed. We pray for our Jennifer's teacher and the work that she's already doing, that what she's already sowing in that man, saying she's going to pray for him. That she's an open door that he can come and ask her questions. Just being a loving person that has compassion and empathy for what he's gone through. I thank you, Lord, for who Jennifer is to that school and all that she does for students and teachers alike. We pray for protection over Mom and Carolyn and Jack as they're driving across the country, as they're loading up the truck. We pray for their bodies to be strong and not to wear out. We pray for their energy level, their eyesight. We pray for peace amongst the car rides and the cats. We just pray for it all, Lord. We pray blessings over Carolyn on this journey and at her new home. And we thank you, Lord, for who she was while she was here with us. And we pray for the blessings that she'll be for the people around her in Alabama. We thank you, Lord, for all that you are. You're such a good God. You're such a good Father. We love you so much. Thank you. Amen.